The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise thee, Lord Jesus Christ.
I like to ask questions, so I'd like to give you a question to mull over as I talk. Keep in the back of your mind. The question is, what is the most important 15 minutes of your day? What is the most important 15 minutes of your day? I'll get back to that question in a few minutes. So I was thinking about Martha and Mary, who are sisters, in relation to something that happens in my family. My kids are growing up and away from home and all that now, but this still happens. Every now and then, and they each do this, they'll ask me or my wife, "Am I your favorite?" They will ask, "Am I your favorite?" Can you see Martha and Mary? Which is Jesus' favorite? So I have a trick answer. Don't tell them. My answer is I always say, "You are." But then I usually tell them, whoever asks me, whichever of you asks me, I will say, "You are," right? So who is Jesus' favorite in this gospel? Who does he love more? Who is more important or special to Jesus between Martha and Mary? Can you tell? I don't know if I can. What's Martha doing? Well, first of all, it's good to keep in mind, it's very interesting, maybe not immediately obvious, Martha might be a very important person for a couple of reasons. And the first is, we hear mentioned by St. Luke here that it's her house that Jesus goes to. That was not necessarily that common in those days, that a woman would be the head of a household. But Martha is the head of this household. In a little village called Bethany, not far from Jerusalem, she is the head of the household. So she's an important person and a little bit unusual in her day. And the other thing that makes Martha important is she welcomed Jesus in is a big deal because Jesus is walking around with a target on his back, almost literally, because the authorities plan to have him killed, and of course they eventually do. Anyone who welcomes Jesus into their house is doing something quite dangerous, literally quite dangerous, because it will be pretty well known that Martha welcomed him into her house. So she's an important person because she's the head of the household and she's taking a big risk by welcoming Jesus in. And I imagine, I don't know how you would feel if Jesus was coming to your house, that she was preoccupied with what she needed to do to welcome him. I won't talk a lot about the first reading, but you hear how elaborately Abraham and Sarah worked together to welcome in those three men who turned out to be angels sent by God. But it's so important, I think, in every culture, but certainly in their culture, back in Jesus' time as well as Abraham's time, to welcome people was a very big thing, a really high priority, a great honor. And so Martha is doing all those things that she thinks Jesus needs to have done for him. And it's really important to recognize that what she is doing reflects something that any one of us might do. And I think this maybe apply more, if I may. I didn't plan this in advance, so I like to pick on Father Gary. Father Gary or myself or any one of us who is doing something important for the church, as many of you do, you're doing different ministries or leadership, being a priest, being a deacon, for example. We are doing things for Jesus, just like Martha, aren't we? I'm up here preaching for Jesus. I'm doing something for him. And I believe it's very important. That's why I'm here. And very interestingly and importantly, this particular encounter Jesus has with these two people, Martha and Mary, is kind of a warning for all of us who are doing things for Jesus. It doesn't mean we should stop, by no means. But it suggests a priority. And Mary reveals where Jesus' priorities are. For each one of us, for you as well, no matter who you are, for me up here, for Father Gary, for Pope Francis, doesn't matter how holy you are officially, there's a priority. And the most important thing, which Jesus calls the better part, is what Mary does. So what does Mary do? She sits at Jesus' feet and listens to him. Which sounds simple, doesn't it? It doesn't necessarily take a lot of skill. If you can sit at someone's feet and listen, you can do what Mary did, right? Sounds simple. And actually, it's very interesting. Jesus says what she does is the better part, which does tell us that what Martha was doing was good. He didn't say Martha did something bad. He said what Mary did was better. What Mary did is where Jesus' priority is. So what is Mary doing? Something so simple, sitting at Jesus' feet and listening to him. Of all the priorities that you might think, or I might think, or we might say, are Jesus' priorities for our lives, all the things he wants us to do, and he does want us to do things for him. The highest priority is sitting at his feet and listening to him. Which gets back to that question I asked. What is the most important 15 minutes, I just picked the number, it doesn't have to be 15. What is the most important 15 minutes of your day? What are your priorities? If you look back on the day you had today, I know it's a Saturday, which is a different work day if you're working during the week, etc. What's the most important thing you did today, the 15 minutes, or every day during the week? What's the most important thing you do every day? And what if I were to say to you, which I'm going to, that the most important 15 minutes you or I or any of us could have in our day would be 15 minutes or more doing what Mary did. And you might wonder, what's the point? Why is this so important to Jesus? Why would you want to sit at Jesus' feet, not literally but spiritually, 15 minutes or more a day and just be there? I think what happens with Martha reveals what happens to me when I don't do that. And I certainly don't every day, although I try. Something like that anyway. See, Martha not only is doing things for Jesus, which means what? She's not paying attention to him because she's doing things for him. But it goes beyond that. She becomes distracted. And then she gets angry. Lord, do not care. My sister has left me to do all the work. Tell her to help me. And that actually, that last thing, where she brings Mary into it, is a grave violation of what you should never do to a visiting guest. You should never ask a guest to get in the middle of your family problems. That would be true today. It was certainly true then. She's crossed the line. And what happens, I think, to me, because I've seen it happen to myself, is doing so many things that I consider important, including things for God, things for Jesus, things for the church, can very easily become what I want to do the way that I want to do it. It can become my agenda in a moment. I can become very selective about the way I start to look at other people and say, hey, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you helping me? And I can miss the point. A couple months ago, I came back to a simple practice, which is what I'm inviting you to consider if you don't already do this, making a really high priority in your life. Because for a long time, I told myself I was doing this, and I really wasn't. And it's as simple as this. I set my alarm 15 minutes earlier than I normally set it. And I just, before I say my prayers, I pray every morning, I say prayers. Before I say my prayers, I just sit quietly in prayer. And I got some good advice about how to do that. It's that simple as just let Jesus love you. And if your mind starts to wander, just come back to focusing on how much he loves you, how much he loves me. I can tell you from my experience, I really did come back to this in a renewed way a couple months ago, that nothing can take away the importance of those 15 minutes of my mornings. Nothing can replace it. I love my wife. We're close. We actually pray together. We do stuff together. My family, my ministry, my work, my friends. But the most important thing in my life, and I'm not sure I always believe this, but I know it to be true, is 15 minutes each morning, sometimes more, just sitting quietly, letting Jesus love me, allowing myself to know how much I am loved by him. And if you don't know Jesus well enough to know how important that could be for you, there's actually a little simple thing you can do. Try it. If you don't know how much he loves you and wants to just spend time loving you and letting you receive his love, try it. Find 15 minutes that work for you. Keep it up for a while, at least a few weeks, and just sit quietly and tell him, Jesus, I just want to be here with you. I want to know how much you love me, and see what happens. I actually think, you know, St. Paul talked about something very important in today's second reading. It was about being a mature person of faith. And it turns out that being mature as a Christian is a lot like being a child in some ways. It goes beyond our strength, that all the things we can and should try to do for God, following his laws, saying our prayers, going to Mass every Sunday more often when we can, going to confession, all those things are necessary. And more, loving our neighbor, reaching out to people in need. But nothing can replace the most important thing. Just before I close, I'd like to tell you another story about my family. This is about my dad. When we were little, one of my dad's favorite things to do was to go for a drive in the country. I grew up in Brampton, so we didn't really know the country very well, and get lost. We would get lost. And at a certain point, my mom would realize we're lost. My dad did this on purpose, but my mom didn't know, and we were in the back kind of laughing, my brothers and myself. We were laughing. My mom would say, are we lost again? And it was worse than that. We used to go to like the States. We'd drive to New Hampshire. This is back in the 80s. My dad is driving along and my mom realizes we're lost again, aren't we? It's so easy to lose your way and not even to know that you're losing your way. Even if you, like me, try to do everything God wants you to do. And the only way we can stay on track, making sure that we are doing what he wants, bearing fruit as he tells us we will bear if we're united to him, is to give him the time. Give him the time every day just to love us. St. Paul, again in today's second reading, says something beautiful and incredibly powerful. He talks about a mystery, the mystery to be revealed to all the ages. And this is the mystery he talks about. It's the mystery of spending time every day with Jesus, letting him love you. And he calls it this, he says this, he says, and this mystery is Christ in you, your hope of glory.